The Eurozone will keep cooking with Greece.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and it looks like Greece will be staying in the Eurozone, at least for the moment. The pro-bailout, pro-austerity New Democracy Party narrowly beat the anti-bailout Syriza Party in yesterday's elections and is now trying to form a coalition government. Last week, we spoke with economist Dimitris Doulos at the American College of Greece, and he's back with us this morning from just outside Athens. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, last time we talked, I asked you if you were scared about this upcoming election. You said yes, you were. What did you do when you found out the results yesterday?
I felt kind of relieved, but it was a very close, very tight, I mean, 2.5 percentage points difference. So that's a very close difference. But I think today I feel a little better.
Well, what happens now? It's not as if the crisis is over.
Well, there must be a government as soon as possible, because I think this is our last chance. The new coalition government that we hope will be formed within a few hours or within the next few days, we hope that it will go ahead quickly with structural changes, so that we give to our partners in Europe to understand that we are serious and we are willing to go ahead with it.
Let me ask you one more thing. You're a professor. You talk to students all the time. How can the government going forward there convince young, educated Greeks to stay in the country instead of fleeing to other places where there's more opportunity right now?
Well, for the time being, it's very difficult to do it because the unemployment among young, educated people is very, very high. So it's very difficult to persuade a recent graduate to stay here. But I think if we have some growth measures that will quickly create jobs and will push Greece out of the recession, this mood will change gradually.
Dimitris Doulos is an economist at the American College of Greece. Thank you so much for talking with us again.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up about 1% in Hong Kong, 0.5% higher right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow added 115 points to close at 12,767. In the last 2 weeks, the Dow has jumped more than 5%. Well, now to that decision by President Obama on Friday to allow many young undocumented immigrants to work legally in the U.S. Critics say the move will make a tough job market here even tougher. Marketplace's Bob Moon reports on where the policy will have the biggest effect.
As many as 800,000 immigrants could benefit from the new policy, according to the Pew Research Center. Those immigrants are concentrated in such states as California, Texas, Florida, and New York, but they're as far-flung as Illinois and Georgia. Marta Tienda follows the demographics of immigration at Princeton University. She's not expecting a big impact to the labor market. As she sees it, the new policy just makes the jobs many of these immigrants already have official.
The issue is whether they're going to be working above ground rather than underground. The net change is likely to be very small.
Tamar Jacoby heads Immigration Works USA, a pro-reform coalition of employers. She argues the new policy could be good for the economy in the long term because it gives the young immigrants a legitimate path to upward mobility.
This is about whether these kids get educated and give back at a level of their full potential. So from the point of view of American productivity, this is helpful, not detracting.
Even so, she says, it's a small step, not an economic game changer. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Today, some new federal rules for sunscreen products are supposed to take effect. The keywords there are supposed to. Turns out the sunscreen makers won't have to comply until the sunny month of December. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
The FDA regulations set new standards for everything from skin cancer protection claims to whether sunscreens are sweatproof. The FDA's been considering them since 2007. One of the agency's experts on sunscreens is Dr. Reynold, wait for it, Tan. Exactly a year ago, the industry was given today's deadline to change their labels, but sunscreen makers balked. They successfully argued that a year wasn't long enough to redesign their packaging. The lobbying worked. Dr. Tan says the FDA allowed a 6-month extension because the agency feared there could be sunscreen shortages this summer.
For example, a manufacturer might anticipate not being able to comply with all the requirements. So he may decide not to market his product and decreased availability of sunscreen products. That's not in the interest of public health.
You might be surprised to learn the sunscreen lobby casts such a large shadow in Washington, but it's not really thanks to big sunscreen. Most sunscreen makers are huge cosmetics and pharmaceutical corporations like Johnson & Johnson, Merck, and L'Oreal. They have plenty of other issues to promote in Washington. The industry's two trade associations report spending nearly $6 million on lobbying over the past 3 years. The chair of the Personal Care Product Council's Sunscreen Task Force is Farah Ahmed. She says the FDA's new labeling regulations require a lot more space and might mean fold-out or wrap-around labels.
But, you know, when we're talking about a lipstick, that is still very difficult to do.
The sunscreen lobbying won't end here. Next up are safety guidelines for super small nano-sized particles in cosmetics, says Michael Hansen of Consumer Reports.
A lot of people have been asking that there should be required safety testing before these products come on the market, but none of that has been done yet.
Dr. Tan says so far the FDA isn't concerned about the small particles, but he says the science is evolving and new regulations may be coming. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, to a very popular job opening, according to the Wisconsin State Journal, more than 1,000 college seniors apply every year. Only 12 spots are available. The job is to drive Oscar Mayer's Wienermobiles, which are just what they sound like, 27-foot-long hot dog cars. The lucky drivers have to go to a 3-week hot dog boot camp where they learn to say things like, "Have a wonderful day," and "Thank you very much." In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.